business to new insane revenue levels doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's all about the right strategy, team, efficiencies, and confidence. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Evolution Podcast. With over 1 million downloads, it's the go-to business podcast dedicated to business owners who want to evolve out of operating in the day-to-day and make their dreams come true. I'm your host, Annette Walter, and I'm so happy you are here. As a former banker, I have now been an entrepreneur for over 15 years and have started, grown, acquired, and sold over 20 multi-million dollar companies to date. Together, you and I will strengthen your existing business, build your dream team and process, grow your wealth and legacy, all while surrounding you with a community of rockstar entrepreneurs just like yourself. Are you ready to evolve? Let's get started. Welcome to the podcast. I am really excited about the guest today, and I'm going to describe him in two words that are really my takeaway. He is brilliant and he is humble. Dean Guida is a tech entrepreneur and CEO of a 35-year-old company with 250 employees, Infragistics, and most recently the author of the book, When Grit Is Not Enough, an entrepreneur's playbook for taking your business to the next level. And when I say that this is a fantastic conversation, I really had like 89,000 questions floating through my head that I wanted to spit out all at once, because this topic is so interesting and so important to your business. And Dean is just one of those types of people that you feel like you could just talk to for hours. So enjoy the conversation today. Thank you for being here. And I just want to remind you, you know, one of the big things behind this podcast is to expand your network, to meet cool people, to give you perspective on different topics like software and technology. And it's really important to take that time to press the pause button in your business and be thinking about these things, be thinking on your business so that you can continue to grow. And this is a great topic for today. I did manage to keep it brief and brilliant as I try to for you, just so you can get that quick hit of dopamine and get on with your day. But thank you, Dean, for being here. And thank you for being here, listeners. Thank you for all the support. I am cheering for you all on the sidelines. Keep evolving, and I will see you soon. Dean, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Great, great, great. Well, I am excited to have you here and learn more about your story. Where shall we begin? I'll let you pick a place on your timeline in the past.
Well, we've been, I started my company about 35 years ago. So, and we've operated in the software tool space. We build UI and UX tools for professional developers used by some of the biggest ISVs and enterprises out there. And so we have a long history of operating in, you know, kind of an unforgiving space where you have to deal with technology change, keep refreshing your software, and all the different cycles of the economy. So I'll leave it to you to kind of ask questions. There's I just wrote a book, When Grit Is Not Enough, that shared everything I've learned over 35 years running a company. And, you know, I'll let you guide the questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's rewind 35 years. You know, you must have been just, you were probably in diapers when you started this, right? My goodness.
Yeah. I was 23. I was a freelance consultant writing software down on Wall Street, worked at IBM. And, but when I was 16, which, I bought one of the first IBM PCs and I taught myself how to write software. I loved that thing. And that kind of, so I started a lot earlier before college. And so by the time I got to college, I knew like 20 programming languages. And so I went to school for operation research, which like probabilistic, deterministic models. And so I started off just loving to write software. The first 5 years I worked on our products, but for the last 30 years, you know, just being management, CEO, running the company.
Wow. Okay. All right. There's so many ways I could take this right now. Here's what I want to do is tell us about the journey first of the company. And then I have some specific questions for entrepreneurs and then actually for kids in college and
Okay.
going into college. So that's the way we're going to go. So tell us about the journey of building it. So you were 23, you knew that you know how to write code. And how did you know it was a company? Like, what was it? Who were you selling to? Who did you know? How did you know what to do?
Well, maybe I'll start a little bit with maybe not your exact question, but then answer your exact question, because
Yeah.
I think like an entrepreneur needs to have grit, and an entrepreneur needs to be very optimistic. So you kind of have to have these basic ingredients. And in the beginning, you can start off and fix do all the work. You can fix a lot of things just by not taking your own salary. But as you grow, maybe 10 plus people more, you not taking a salary or you fixing everything just doesn't work anymore. And that's why I wrote this book and really wanted to share When Grit Is Not Enough, an entrepreneur playbook, to show these different ways of running a company. And creating a learning, agile, data-driven company is like some of the core thesis of that, and which you need to really grow and be resilient in the tech space. So that doesn't really answer your question directly, but like how we knew, we started off the first year. I didn't even work full time. I was working part time, or I was working full time at IBM writing software for them. And then late at night and on the weekends, I was coding with my partner Don to build the software. But I met Don down on Wall Street. We were writing software for AIG, and it was really early days. So we were like, our back end was DB2 CICS, and our front end was some of the first Data General laptops in the market. And it was a DOS front end, but Windows 2.0 was just coming out. And so we wrote business tools to help developers build GUI applications, user interface. And that's kind of like what was our tooling and then or idea. And then what happened was everyone was learning how to go from this event, from this procedural programming to event-driven programming, Windows type programming. And they were reading this big Charles Petzold book, 450 pages, learn how to do this. And we were going to go to market with certainly a toolkit that will help them build business applications faster, but you're going to have to learn a whole set of APIs. So before we went to market, we wrote tooling in front of it where you can interactively build the screens, connect it to data, and then we generated C code at the time. We later on generated, C++. That wasn't even around then, Pascal, but that was our idea just from hands-on being in the building enterprise software space.
So, what does the company look like today? Where's your focus? What does the team look like?
We're 250 plus people. We're in six countries around the world. We're really focused on simple and beautiful, helping our customers build simple and beautiful digital experiences. And so we have a whole set of UI components for the web stack and mobile for building out data visualization and grids. And we also have a product that a lot of SaaS companies buy where it's a data analytics dashboarding tool. So that's really doing well for us. And we have a product app builder that goes from design to code. So you can take design systems out of Figma, and we bring that into App Builder, and we're generating production code. So it's a low code tool. And then finally, like we've expanded now outside the designer developer space, where we have Slingshot, which is a data-driven work management tool. And there it's all about bringing in your operational data from your SaaS system, CRM, financial, marketing systems, and driving the whole kind of work effort based on data and what we kind of call a scientific method of driving business outcomes, where you get a signal, so you're getting data, and you're always wondering, like, why is that happening? Why are leads not good? Why are leads costing so much money? And then you collaborate with your team and create a hypothesis how you can improve that outcome, maybe change your messaging, maybe get more segmented and focused on who you're marketing to. And then you intentionally measure it and test that experiment in the market. And so you kind of do this whole flywheel of iterating on, getting signals, using data, collaborating, and then using this experimentational scientific method to improve, improve your business, improve your outcomes. And so we kind of modeled Slingshot off of that. So it's analytics, it's work management, project management, it's modern communications, it's all these things in this really nice user experience.
Like a total dashboard for entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah, to run your business.
It's great. It's so needed out there. And, you know, I've looked at some of your competition out there and they probably don't even come close, right?
Yeah, they really focus. Like our competition is like Monday and Asana, and they really focus on task and project management, mm-hmm. where we're bringing data into the workflow effort.
Yeah,
into the,
there's not a lot out running, there like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very great. Very great. You know, I majored in Spanish, and I have to say, when you were throwing out a lot of those acronyms there, I felt like I was following a foreign language there that was like more challenging than, you know, Spanish. And, you know, I think that that's common, though, with business owners is technology is such a huge piece of their business. But I'd say maybe 3 out of 4 don't understand the impact, whether it's just, you know, using software in their business to the bigger items like AI and cybersecurity, right? So
yep.
What do business owners need to know that they don't know? What's some like kind of basic advice there for them?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's always about the team. So creating an environment and a culture where people collaborate and are open and honest with each other and kind of have blameless problem solving. And you know, it starts with the culture and the team, and then you can handle all the dynamic changes that business and the environment throws at you to solve problems, build new product. So it starts with the team and the people is number one. And then you need to really, you know, implement some of these processes like, you know, data-driven, scientific method, and so that you get a good rhythm of the business of how you execute, trying to achieve your plans. And then we're a big believer in OKRs, you know, objective and key results. Andy Grove invented way back in 1975 from Intel. Mm-hmm. But those are fantastic because one, you're setting objectives and measurable objectives, but then you're giving some guidance around here's the key actions to achieve that. And then that just drives execution and creates intrinsic motivation too, because you're not always telling exactly how to achieve that objective, but it's very clear what the priority is and what you're trying to do. And so these are just some of the things I write about in my book, but they're great. Also key ingredients to execution.
It's great. So if you were, you know, your college self right now in this 2024, what would you be looking at, focusing on, you know, obsessing about as you did with your IBM? What would you be diving deep on?
Well, it's truly a crazy time. I mean, so I've been through all the technology cycles of mainframe to PC, cloud computing, internet, and AI truly is the most biggest fundamental shift mm-hmm. in how much value everyone could leverage off of what's happening in the market to deliver great value. So, AI can solve a lot of problems, and it's about picking the solution you want to solve, you know, collecting the right data to train the models. And it's amazing. People love that whole kind of conversational asking questions in a chat. So like what we're doing in Slingshot, which is really cool, is that we're connecting to all your operational systems. We're labeling it, putting all this data together so that you could have conversational analytics. You can just have a conversation and say, why is customer acquisition cost so expensive? And then we're blending the data across like CRM, Salesforce, and marketing systems,
right?
QuickBooks. And we're able to answer what your trend in customer acquisition costs and give you some insight. So, you know, it's truly amazing where you can just ask a question, you know, and then get a visualization answer and an insight to really be, you know, understand what's happening in your business. But that's like one example of AI.
Right, right. There's like a million things you can do. I mean, what keeps you going as a business owner, this chapter in your life and where you are with the business, 250 people, like what keeps you going?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved learning. I think that's kind of another key ingredient of an entrepreneur is just being curious. And I just love the whole part of learning. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we've been a very successful business for 35 years. We've never taken any money. And I think it has to do with, motivation is just innovating, solving tough problems, and just keep learning.
Right. I love it. And I'm right there with you. I agree. It's fun, you know, when you're curious, and then it keeps you kind of in the game and stimulated, right?
Yes.
So a few last questions, and I won't keep you long here. So I get this from business owners a lot. They say, you know, Annette, I feel like I need to have software as a service as a part of my business, as, you know, a product kind of that is able to generate revenue that has better profit margins, all of those different things. So how do businesses go about, like, do you have any kind of insight on if they're looking to add SaaS as a part of their business, you know, some things to think about or how to go about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should really be building a piece of software today that's not a SaaS kind of architecture. And then there's a business model in there, which is, you know, recurring revenue and selling subscriptions. So, which is like very valuable because then you get more of a snowball effect as, you know,
Right.
it's very expensive to acquire new customers, but then you
Yes.
take care of them and they keep renewing every year. So now you're building up a bigger base every year. And so, certainly the business model of subscription, recurring revenue, and adding new, you know, new seats is key to that. And so yeah, if you're thinking about a software business, that those should be just two basic elements of it.
Right. Yeah. And then just kind of started as if you would a new division, a new company, really from the ground up, right?
Yeah, and look at solving a real problem in the market. I mean, and understanding that deeply. And then testing it, making sure that you get product market fit. So a lot of people scale too quickly sales and marketing without truly hitting product market fit. And you can waste a lot of money, and it can take months and years, but that's where you keep experimenting, trying to find that that core problem, that core audience, that section of the market that is very clear to them. And then the sales cycle and the life cycle of closing business is very quick and easy. And so that takes some work. It for everybody,
Yeah.
but that's a key thing, is to truly understand product market fit and then scale.
Right. And I think that's, you know, it's interesting that how hard that can really be, right?
It's very hard. I mean, because you can clearly see problems in the market. Customers tell you, you solve them, but the market keeps growing. And every person or company, you know, change is always hard. So even if you can prove to owners, business owners, that you're going to improve things 200-300%, it's still hard to get people to change and switch technology, change the way they're doing something. So nothing's easy, but if you know, if you stay curious and you stay at it, you'll succeed.
So what's the coolest thing that's ever happened in your company?
That's a tough one. I mean, some of the things that make me so proud are, you know, when we have these geniuses working with us for 15, 20 years and they can work anywhere.
Right.
We do a lot of business in Japan. So I was recently over in Japan, and it was really proud for me. And the Japanese culture has a much higher level of quality and precision than Europe and the US. And, all of the bullet trains and all the subways and all the trains in Japan runs on our software. And so it's like another level, even in Japan, of
Wow.
quality and precision. Like, you can set the atomic clock on the bullet train coming in. And so I met with the head, the guy running all of Japan's infrastructure, and it was just so joyful to hear how much they appreciate our software and the quality work we're doing, and
Wow.
that they've been using us for, you know, 7+ years, and they'll renew for the next 20 years. And it just made me really, really proud of our whole team, and that,
Yeah.
you know, we're being appreciated like that, and such a high bar on quality and precision.
I'd say that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Biggest threat in the marketplace right now and biggest opportunities out there for business owners.
Oh yeah, it's AI, AI, AI. I mean,
Yeah.
I speak to a lot of private equity companies and analysts, and, you know, they want to invest in us, and so you don't know where things are going to fall. So AI is so much opportunity to solve problems, but then you don't know where everything is going to fall in terms of what's big tech problems are, what are they solving? You know, where is the opportunity and competitive advantage and white space for your company? And so So it's like both the biggest opportunity and the biggest threat.
Yeah. So true. It's so true. How can we buy the book, learn more about you, follow you, learn from you?
Yeah, the so deanguida.com is the book. It's sold on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places. And and that's a good way to connect with me. Yeah. Infragistics.com is our main website.
Yeah.
But we have a website just for slingshotapp.io.
Yep.
Slingshot and revealbi.io for our analytics products.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love to connect with people. And I wrote the book to really help like entrepreneurs have get way better chances at success and everything I learned over the last 35 years and a real playbook so that it's real actionable.
That's awesome. And that's so kind of you. And, you know, I feel like honestly, I could like ask you a million questions and learn so much from you. So I really appreciate you taking some time and being here and sharing your wealth of knowledge and your experience with the audience. Thank you so much, Dean.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow, what an episode. Did you learn something new? I hope so. I am so happy you were able to be here with us today. I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a review and I will be sure to read it and respond to you. Also, if you'd like to email me, my email address is urock@ievolveconsulting.com. Hit subscribe and every Tuesday you'll get notification when the next episode drops. We really have some amazing interviews and tips in the future. Anything you need, I'm here for you. I want you to keep your momentum. I want to help you stay accountable. I want you to stay inspired. I want you to evolve. So please let me know what you need, and I'd love to hear from you. Take care until next time.